mail for the kitty. Oh, Sprinkles, come here. You've got a delivery. Meowbox.com is a subscription crate service that is designed for our kitty friends in mind. Meowbox.com offers a selection of hand-picked tasty treats and new good foods and some fun little toys for them to enjoy. Meowbox.com donates a can of food to local animal and rescue shelters on your behalf when you sign up. A variety of different subscription options can be found at Meowbox.com, and don't forget to use promo code GEEK10 to get 10% off your first subscription. Isn't that great, Sprinkles? Mail that comes to the door, and it's just for you. Meowbox.com is a proud sponsor of ThisWeekInGeek.net. Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to the final Nerd News Network of 2015. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd. Today is Saturday, December 19th. 2015, and well, things are going to be running a little bit differently today, simply because, you know what, I'm excited to get to my hopefully well-deserved vacation. There's still going to be a couple more shows until we come back. I'm looking at probably the 11th of January, give or take. It'll be that week when we start having more and more new content. I still got a couple of prototypes to record with Jamie. I think we're doing one this week. There should be, there's gonna be new Terrible Warrior stuff coming out over the holidays. Hopefully you listened to the Embers of the Jedi, the first episode of that, which came out on Thursday for Star Wars Episode 7. And that's where we're actually gonna start today's episode. We're gonna talk a little bit about The Force Awakens, and I will not give spoilers because the movie's only been up for 48 hours. You get at least a week until that, though. I'll maybe try and get Tiffany and maybe Tom, maybe Steve. I'll try and get a couple of people together. We'll do like a Force Awakens spoilery discussion podcast. I'll have to email a couple of people, see if I can make that happen over the holiday. Hopefully going to get a couple of botched rolls out before the 11th as well. So, yeah. So today, we're going to talk about, like I said, Star Wars The Force Awakens. I'm going to give you my brief review of that. How it's doing at the box office as of today. Also going to tell you about a really cool sequel to a movie that we all know and love. It's About Damn Time. And finally, a giant freaking animal that is over 200 years old. And I'm also going to give you two bonus reviews on whether you should be including these Blu-rays in your stockings for that special someone in your life, because, hey, everybody loves getting movies on Christmas. It's just kind of one of those really, really easy gifts, and I got two here. If you had to pick between them, which one are you going to take? Okay, so Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Like I said, no spoilers here, at least I don't think. So I saw this movie Thursday night. I was the first person in line in Orangeville. Very much a big, huge shout out to Cineplex, rather. They were able to accommodate me. Like I said, I've been rocking a wheelchair for a couple of months now due to my knees. And they were able to let us in ahead of time. Me and another gentleman were able to get these fantastic seats, literally front row center. I was right on the floor, in that little area where you can put like kind of wheelchairs and stuff. So I'm sitting there, not like I had a choice. Best seats in the house, really, really, absolutely, truly, it really was. So I saw this movie in 3D, went with my wife Blair, my buddy Chris, and Vito. And I've kind of made this new tradition. Chris, who you may remember from Beyond the Gauntlet, which I'm hoping might come back in 2016, because he just moved his store in Orangeville. So I guess if he has the time, we'll maybe figure something out for that. So anyway, we got this new tradition. Whenever there's anything Star Wars, we go opening night guaranteed. So kind of looking forward to, I guess, maybe going to Rogue One when that comes out next year, and then after that, we get back into the tradition of a Star Wars movie opening on the, I think it's the Victoria Day weekend in Canada. I forget what I think it's the Memorial Day weekend in the States. May, yeah, either way. So, is Star Wars Episode 7 any good? Yes, absolutely. If I had to rank my top three Star Wars movies, it would probably go Empire Strikes Back, Force Awakens, Revenge of the Sith. J.J. Abrams, pretty much, this is the movie he's pretty much been auditioning for about the last, like, 5-6 years. Pretty much when the rebooted Star Trek came out back in, I want to say, 2009, people are saying, wow, this feels like a Star Wars movie. And then we did Star Trek Into Darkness, pretty much the same thing. Though even he admits that movie sucks. So you could tell this was very much a passion project for him. He absolutely loved what he was doing. And Disney and the powers that be very much saw right to hire J.J. Abrams. And it works. Yeah, there's a few of his trademark things in there, like, for example, I don't really consider this a spoiler. If it is, bite my ass. Greg Grunberg from Heroes shows up. He was also in Heroes and pretty much any other project that he does. He was also in the new Star Trek movie as well. And it's really good. It's just over 2 hours. It does share a lot of similar beats with A New Hope, but why mess with something that works? I guess would probably be the best way to describe it. The guy that plays Finn, amazingly funny. And that's something else about the Star Wars movie that I think the prequels were lacking, and this one wasn't. Humor. This movie's a lot funnier than it has any right to be. BB-8 pretty much steals the show. The one moment he has with Finn very, very early on in the movie, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And, thumbs up all around is what I'm going to say. It's really good. There's some nice kind of references in there. I mean, the Empire's new weapon, or the First Order's new weapon, is called Starkiller Base. That's a nice reference to the original concept for Star Wars with Starkiller. They do throw references back to the original trilogy. And it's very respectful of the source material. I remember reading somewhere, it's going to tie in somewhere along the line, the Star Wars Rebels. They'll investigate some ideas that are explored in The Force Awakens. So I guess I'll be on the lookout for that. I'm kind of hoping it involves that smuggler queen person or smuggler person who's been around for a long time. And as far as I know, that's in the marketing material, so that's not a spoiler. Although people are dickbags with this movie, they've been randomly posting spoilers in unrelated threads. I myself thought about doing something today, but as a joke. Like, everyone was like, Kylo Ren is blank, 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 and I was going to put Kylo Ren is John Cena! But I'm like, no, I'll get defriended over this, guaranteed. I saw some people actually get defriended over this over the past couple of days. And it's kind of like that scene from The Simpsons where Homer and Marge are walking out of Empire Strikes Back, and he's like, wow, Vader's Luke's father, never saw that coming. And they're like, oh, thank you, Mr. Spoils the Picture. And I'm thinking, yeah, I don't get why people do this. And I don't know, people are trolls. But anyway, yeah, overall, this is the movie, this is the sequel I think we've wanted since the prequels came out, something that gives us something new. And the fact that this does wipe out nearly 30 years of expanded universe, I'm kind of okay with some of this. Would I like to have seen Grand Admiral Thrawn instead of Kylo Ren? Truthfully, yes, because I think Thrawn's a much more interesting villain. But it's not to say that Kylo Ren sucks either. Adam Driver, the actor who plays him, pretty good in his role. Although, amazingly, during my screening, there's a point where Ren takes off his helmet. We've already seen his face from the trailer, so that doesn't count. And there's just some random girl's like, ew. And I kind of hope that happens in every single screening since. And it's not that he's gross looking. She's, I guess, you know, the first time you see Darth Vader's face, he's some crusty old white guy. Party on, I guess? But still, though, everybody does a fantastic performance here. I'm really glad the new direction these movies are going to take. And I'm fully on board the hype train for Star Wars Episode 8, which comes out in 2017. I'm really on board for Rogue One. I remember speaking with Alan Tudyk about that a couple of months ago when I interviewed him. Really wish I could have got some of my details out of him, but that's not going to happen. But still, I'm really looking forward to it. So you should absolutely go and see this. I'm hoping to see it again before the new year. And that kind of leads me into my first story. So as of right now, as of this recording, I think on its opening night, it had like something like $57 million for opening. That shatters records, which was famously held by Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, which set records back in 2011 with $43.5 million and a $91 million Friday. So far, The Force Awakens, as of Friday, has made $120 million. So far, worldwide, it has made $250. My guess is this will probably... this will probably cross a billion, I'm guessing, even before the new year. Now, it hasn't quite set the record for the biggest Friday in history in terms of pure Fridays in history. If you look at it versus Jurassic World, it earned about $700,000 less than Jurassic World. So this is kind of amazing. And a little bit of trivia for you. It turns out the first movie to make more than $20 million on its opening weekend was actually Return of the Jedi. And then Phantom Menace broke the record way back in the day of $28 million on a Wednesday. And it was the first movie to earn more than $100 million in 5 days. But still, I'm really excited to see just how well this movie performs. Now, hopefully this will be the biggest opening weekend of any movie ever. That's what I'm really hoping. I can't wait to see what it's going to be like on Monday or Tuesday when the actual box office numbers are reported. If it's already made $250 million worldwide, I'm guessing four by Monday. I really am. Like, in fact, our local theater here in Orangeville, I think has something like 8 showings of it. In fact, every other movie has had me, I think the only other movie that has more than 2 showings a day is maybe Hunger Games: Mockingjay, and I think that's got maybe 3 showings a day. Matinee, early evening, and late evening show. Everything else is down to 1, maybe 2. And we have like 7 theaters here. And our theater is not particularly huge. So, yeah, I mean, Star Wars is going to do an amazing thing about this. In fact, I actually did an interview about Star Wars on the Bill Kelly Show, I think it was, on 900 CHML over the weekend there, or on Friday, actually. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to give you the audio to that. So here's me talking about Star Wars, and when we come back, I'll give you the rest of my stories for the last show of the year. And then we'll come back, we'll talk about some stocking stuffers that you should probably put into your stockings or not later on this year. So we'll be back right after me. This is me on 900 CHML on The Bill Kelly Show. I'll be back, guys, right after this.
Hey, welcome back. Bill Kelly Show, CHML, Cable 14. Welcome to Friday. Don't forget, Tech Talk, Adam Oldfield will be here just after 11:30 this morning, brought to you by good friends at Hamilton Limousine. And looking forward to that. It's always a lot of fun talking with Adam about a whole bunch of crazy things that are going on, about driverless cars and some of the great things that are going on. But before we get to that, it's finally arrived. Yeah, this is the weekend. Well, it's debuted in a couple of other parts of the world, but Star Wars The Force Awakens The lineups, I live up by Ancaster Silver City, and I got to tell you, the costumes, the lineups, everything else, and it's been like this for a couple of days now. People just wandering around the neighborhoods right now. It's very strange indeed, or maybe not totally unexpected. This is one of the most anticipated movies in a long, long time, and of course it's not just opening to record crowds, but of course the advance sales for this are just astronomical. Joining us to talk about this is Mike Dodd. Mike is the executive producer of This Week in Geek. Mike, welcome to the program. Good to have you with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, and I'm still coming down off that Star Wars high.
Are you still in costume, Mike?
Well, I just took off my Stormtrooper helmet, so it would be a little awkward to do this interview that way.
Yeah, I would have made the voice a little hollow. I do appreciate that, really. That's good of you. Now, we can't talk about the plot of the movie. I don't want to get into that, but I do want to talk a little bit about the hype for this and of course, the franchise itself. I remember seeing the first movie way back in 77, and I got to tell you, just full disclosure, I'm not a big science fiction geek. I didn't even watch Star Trek when I was a kid. I just didn't really get into the stuff. So I went and sat there in 77. The radio station I was working at the time, Mike, was doing the premiere here in Hamilton. And I thought, okay, well, I have to be there because it's our presentation. I was blown away by that movie. It's one of these things that even if you're not a big fan of that genre, you couldn't help but just get sucked into this movie. It was just one of the, I thought, one of the best movies I've seen ever. What were your reactions the first time you saw that first movie?
The first time I ever saw Star Wars, I was probably about 5 or 6 years old. This would have been probably around 1986 when I saw it on good old VHS. And I remember I'd never seen anything like it. And yeah, it was science fiction, space swords and lasers and all that stuff. But even back then, I kind of recognized this is something a little bit different than something I'd ever seen before. And now that I'm in my mid-30s, seeing it, I realize that this is a story that it's basically, this is the modern myth. These are the legends that will be passed down hundreds of years from now when our culture evolves. I mean, they'll still be talking about Star Wars, I promise you, 200 years from now, and maybe even beyond that. Like, these, like, now the stories of Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, Darth Vader, this is the modern Odyssey.
But the way the movie was done, even for its time in 1977, it was, I mean, you know, we're all, of course, many, there's a whole generation of people that have been raised on computer-generated images, but this, you know, this Lucas genius, this masterpiece that he put together back in 77, it had drama in it, it had action. I mean, if you'd like to see action, I mean, the battle scenes are simply incredible. It had humor, and not ridiculous humor, but I mean, the stuff that would make you just right out life and laugh at some of the lines that Han Solo and some of the others that would put on in this thing. It was almost done tongue-in-cheek, but it wasn't really done tongue-in-cheek. I thought it coasted beautifully between all of those elements to make this whole thing come together.
Something that, like, J.J. Abrams with the new Star Wars movie has definitely captured. When I was watching it last night, I was actually thinking, you know, this is funnier than it has any right to be. And it doesn't take away from it. It actually adds a lot of relief to moments of tension. You get great play from Harrison Ford as Han Solo. So there's just so much that Star Wars does right when it comes to mixing its elements. This is something the prequels tried to understand but didn't quite get. Whereas J.J. Abrams, when you look at the last two Star Trek movies, this is pretty much his audition role to say, yeah, Star Trek's cool, don't give a crap. I want to do Star Wars, and it works.
I'm glad you brought up the prequels, because for all the hype and the love that the first movie got, not the first and not the last movie that said, hey, we had to access here, let's, you know, we've got to build on this, let's build a franchise here, the prequels got mixed reviews and for a variety of reasons, and there's always a concern, isn't there, Mike, when that happens, that, well, you know what, the franchise is dead. It's been a long time since 1977. A lot of people that watched the trilogy after that thought, yeah, too lame, you know, they're milking the idea. Why then did this one have such anticipation? Why then did this one have this ground swell of support even before this thing even got released?
Well, I think a lot of people people know about something called the Expanded Universe, which is something that began really in the 70s with, like, Alan Dean Foster in the novels and comic books, and then continued throughout pretty much up until a couple of years ago when everything got reset by Disney. They knew there was this whole new wealth of Star Wars material. So when they said, we're going to tell you Episode 7, and it's going to be a new Episode 7, something you've never read before in comics, movies, or television, that got people excited. And they know J.J. Abrams can deliver when he wants to. I mean, he's had fantastic success in television and in movies. And the guy's a huge nerd. So there's reason to believe that he could do this right. And with people that aren't just paid to say, yeah, this movie's awesome, saying, you should probably put your trust in this. When people like Kevin Smith are telling you this is legit, you should probably believe it.
The other element to this, too, and J.J. Abrams' impact here can't be underplayed, I think. This is a guy who made this movie not because he figured, hey, there's an opportunity to make some money out of this franchise. This is a guy that loves the whole genre. He loves Star Wars.
Absolutely. I mean, the fact that you get to tell a new chapter into one of the greatest sagas in filmmaking history and arguably in fiction, this is your chance to stand up to bat and start batting 1,000. And when Disney brought J.J. on board, they knew they were going to get someone who could deliver a project not only just on time, but with love, care, and something that the fans are going to love.
Are you surprised that that so many members of the original cast were interested in getting back into this? Because, you know, anytime you do this, I mean, you know, by the time they made Godfather 3, for instance, I mean, some of the members of that cast said, you know, I've had enough. You know, I'm not going to be part of it. So they get written out, and then I think the movie was the worst for it. But to get that core of those people back again, that's pretty important.
I mean, the fact that all these people have gone on to have successful careers in, like, other ventures, be it film, television, movies, or even voice acting, says something that they're willing to come back and do something very special for this to kind of bring it full circle. It means they believed in the project from the get-go. This isn't just merely a cash grab. And there's so much here that calls back to the original trilogy without being too obtrusive. I'm really glad that all of them came back for it.
And speak so highly of it, too. I mean, you know, I even remember the comments of Daniel Craig after he did the last Bond movie, which I loved, by the way. But he was kind of trashing it. I mean, you know, when he was going around to all the talk shows doing it, said, yeah, I kind of had to fulfill the contract. I mean, he kind of retracted it later on, but it was out there. And if there's a guy like Harrison Ford, who, as you said, has had a long and very successful career, didn't need to do this. He could have gone there and just mailed it in. But I saw him at the Hollywood premiere the other day on Entertainment Tonight. And he was pretty excited, pretty jacked about this.
I mean, Harrison Ford, he's been Indiana Jones, he's been Jack Ryan from the Tom Clancy movies, he's done a lot of stuff. He didn't need to do this, but he comes back, and it's like he never left that good old DL-44 blaster at his side. He was Han Solo, and he still is.
All right, I don't want to have any spoiler alerts here, so we're not going to give away the plot, but if I can compare it to the first movie, and a lot of people that have seen the movie have done that, are there, obviously, there's a lot of action, we know that. What about the storyline? Because the storyline in the first movie was incredible. As you said, in some of the sequels, not so much. It kind of looked like, well, we need to do this. Like, we got to string a couple of things together. But the first movie was just one thing after another. I mean, you were on the edge of your seat for the whole movie. Is that the way this one rolls out?
I would say that's pretty accurate. I mean, there aren't a lot of points for you to really, quote-unquote, get bored. This movie keeps you going along pretty much at, like, a speeder bike pace the entire time. And it is very familiar to the other movies, which is not to be unexpected, but hey, don't screw with what works.
That seems to be the mantra, right?
Exactly. I mean, they know the First Order has a super weapon. They got to go deal with it. And even the name of the super weapon, if you're a fan of Star Wars lore, you're thinking, that's clever.
Are there any gotcha moments? I mean, the first, you know, Luke, I am your father, that sort of thing, that just kind of knock you right back and say, whoa, I didn't see that one coming.
Without a doubt. This is a movie that changes Star Wars canon significantly. And when it happens, right in the feels, man.
I can hardly. The lineups are incredible. It's going to be a while, I think, before if you don't have advanced tickets. Let's talk a little bit about that. You know, they're talking about this being one of the most successful box offices of all time, and it's only been showing for like 12 hours now so far. But advanced sales in the U.S. alone of over $100 million, that's, excuse the bad pun, out of this world.
Absolutely. I honestly see this reaching over a billion probably before the end of the year. Truthfully, this is going to outpace the Avengers, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, the god-awful Twilight movies.
What makes it different? Because those are all very successful franchises where one movie after the other just seemed to just build on that franchise. But this has been such a long time, Mike. It's and these are people, I'm sure, you know, when you looked around the theater last night, you looked and said, yeah, it's probably somebody who saw the original the first time it was in the theater. But there are generations of people that this is brand new to them.
I saw this in Orangeville last night because good luck trying to find a ticket north of the GTA or Hamilton. I got lucky. I saw kids in there that couldn't have been older than 5 or 6, and I was just kind of eavesdropping, just kind of listening into their conversations. They knew about as much of this stuff as I did, and these kids have the advantage of having the new television show like Star Wars Rebels or having the new video games like with Star Wars Infinity. These kids knew their stuff. So this is awesome to see these parents bringing their kids here, the kids that grew up with, sadly, Episode 1, but now they get to bring their kids to see Episode 7. And I saw some older gentlemen there, too, with like their wives and said, hey, we saw this back in 77 when we were in high school. It's so cool to see a full generation. Literally, they became... We're raising a whole new generation of Jedi Knights and Padawans. This is so incredibly badass.
Well, that's one thing that has certainly evolved since that first movie back in 77 is marketing techniques, and I don't know if anybody ever does it better than Disney does. So they've really grasped on this, and we were talking about the impact this is going to have in North America. There's the movie itself, but the franchise, and of course, you know, the tie-in, of course, you know, with memorabilia and all these sorts of things. I mean, this is going to be huge for this movie.
Oh, my God. I mean, I guarantee if you were to go up to that Toys R Us today in Hamilton, every Star Wars figure, even the ones that had been peg warmers for weeks, like, say, John Boyega's character Finn, I promise you, after you see the movie, those figures are gone. I promise you that. I mean, I bought a costume for this movie. I bought it from, like, I think it was buycostumes.com. And I had trouble getting a Captain Phasma outfit, which is the, like, kind of chrome stormtrooper.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't believe how quickly this stuff was selling out. And the Disney Store exclusive stuff sold out. I actually, just before this interview, I sent my wife to go to Best Buy to grab me this, like, Disney Infinity exclusive figure. I'll be lucky if she gets it. Star Wars figures, it's like crack. I mean, I had a problem a couple years ago when Revenge of the Sith came out back in 2005. I had every single figure for that. Episode 7 is something no one has ever seen before last night. So Star Wars figures, Lego sets, models, toys, props, Hasbro and Disney, they're going to be printing money hand over fist this holiday season. It's going to be insane how many Star Wars toys are going to be under Christmas trees this year. And like, it's going to be awesome.
How many people do you think are kicking themselves right now that said, you know, I wish I hadn't sold all that stuff in that garage sale 10 years ago. Who knew this was going to happen?
Oh, my God. There is a friend of mine who owns a comic book store, and he has a Falcon sitting on the shelf right now for $400. That's a bargain right now, because I guarantee you, by the end of the weekend, that thing will be gone. So if you have any Star Wars figures right now, hold on to them, because I promise you, if they're from the original run back in 77, yeah, you just printed your kid's college fund. Otherwise, hold on to this stuff, because it's only going to go up in value, especially if it's the exclusive stuff. If it's the more stuff you find in the store, maybe not so much. But stuff like this that's coming out, it's meant to be played with. There's some really cool figures out right now. Like, one of my favorite things, Hasbro has the electronic lightsaber for
yep.
Kylo Ren, which is the basically the lightsaber broadsword. I can't imagine leaving something like that in package. That thing's way too cool. Just to swing in, you know.
I got about a minute. I got to ask you this because, and this is something I haven't seen in any of the trivia sheets, but I know this from personal experience. Star Wars, the first one in 77, was probably the first movie where we developed this phenomenon of going to see it 7, 8, 9, 10, 15, 20 times. Unheard of before. I mean, you might, if a movie you really liked, you might go see it twice maybe. You know, hey, I love this. I'm going to go see it again a second time. But Star Wars fanatics started this whole process then of going so many different times. I'm assuming that's going to carry on with this one.
Absolutely. I honestly see this weekend, for example, you'll see every single thing sold out. And people that are going to see this again, this will probably be their second or third time. I'm probably going again, like, tonight, if I can find a seat where I don't have to drive like 2 hours. But yeah, honestly, I see this being seen at least five times in theaters by hardcores, even by casual fans. I'd see at least twice because they're going to have that one friend who says, I don't want to see it. And they're going to be like, ah, come on. Like, honestly, this is going to be something people see so many times. Like, what? ridiculous amounts.
Well, I'm glad you got in to see it, and I'm glad you had some time to talk to us about it tonight. And it's an incredible phenomenon. And one thing I got to tell you, just to wrap this up, every review I've read, everything I've seen, the critics, even the people that just love to slam movies, nobody's had a bad word to say about this thing. This is going to be a winner.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel sorry for any movie that opened this weekend against it. So look out for that box off juggernaut of Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Mike, thanks so much for this. And I know you're going to go see the movie two or three more times. Enjoy it each time. And we really appreciate the time today.
Thank you so much, Bill. Be sure to check me out at thisweekingeek.net. And may the force be with you.
Absolutely. Mike Dodd, of course, executive producer of This Week in Geek. Have you got tickets for the movie? Good luck. Back after the break here, CHML Cable 14.
Welcome back to This Week in Geek. Thank you very much, 900 CHML, for having me on the show. Now, I was speaking to one of the producers afterwards, and evidently they're really excited to have me back on the show for other stuff. So hopefully maybe I'll talk about some of the Marvel stuff, maybe Batman v Superman. In fact, actually, I'm actually supposed to return a pitch email about that, so maybe I better do that after I'm done this interview. Okay, so years upon years ago, there was a little movie called Spaceballs, which was a parody. This movie came out back in 1987. People loved it. Mel Brooks. And, you know, we don't see too many of these parody movies now outside of the shitty, scary movies or blank, blank movie, like Not Another Teen Movie, Date Movie, whatever, Meet the Spartans. Almost all those suck. But the master of it is ultimately Mel Brooks. So he did a podcast with Adam Carolla recently. And he says he wants to start doing Spaceballs, The Search for More Money. And he wants to start filming in 2016. Now, this isn't the first time that I've, like, kind of heard this before. So it's kind of crappy because John Candy and Joan Rivers, they've both passed away. And Rick Moranis, who originally played Dark Helmet, is pretty much retired from acting. But he said if the role came along, he would come back. But he didn't come back for Ghostbusters, which would have been a quick cameo. I kind of wonder what they could do with this, because you think about all the vintage properties that are coming back, because even Hasbro is now creating like a cinematic universe with like Mask, G.I. Joe, and some other stuff. So vintage is huge right now. In fact, Geek rules the box office, so I'm glad we're getting really huge things like Star Wars and Avengers. And a little less Twilight and a little less Fast and Furious. But then again, I'm very biased because I'm a nerd. Now, Spaceballs, The Search for More Money. I'm really surprised they didn't do this when the prequels came out. Especially if they tied this in to Phantom Menace. This could have been amazingly funny. In fact, if they did a prequel kind of riff on this, I'd love to see the kid that played McLovin play a young Dark Helmet. And I say that because you look at how good that kid was in, like, not just Superbad, but the Kick-Ass movies. He's got a great sense of comedic timing, so I think that could be amazingly, amazingly funny. So hopefully this does start filming next year. I know I would definitely be in line to see it. I love Mel Brooks comedy because you don't see anything like that these days. That's usually that witty and that right on the button. And isn't as mean-spirited as some of the, like I said, the blank-blank movie stuff. So, have to wait and see. So, as I mentioned, I wanted to talk about this just because I think this is really, really, really weird. It looks like a monster out of friggin' Dungeons & Dragons. So, they discovered a 200-year-old giant salamander discovered just outside a cave in China. I'm actually going to include the video to this thing. So, this thing is... This was found near a cave near in Chongqing... That sounds incredibly racist, but it's not, I swear to God, in China. This thing is over 4.5 feet long and weighs almost 115 pounds. Like I said, they think this thing is 200 years old. This thing looks like... weird. Hear me out. Earthworm Jim 2. Do you remember the level where you're playing as the blind cave salamander? That's what this thing looks like, except friggin' huge. I don't think it's dangerous. It's a big freaking salamander. But it looks like something you'd fight in D&D and it'd be worth like 15 experience or something like that. I just think this is incredibly cool. So check out the video down below and see a giant cave salamander that's... God, I hope this thing never gets inside your house. Okay, so final review of the year. So Paramount sent me a couple of titles recently. And I kind of decided to kind of do like a face-off against these things. So earlier this year, we got two sequels to two amazingly long-running franchises. Terminator Genisys and Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. Both of these are available on Blu-ray. Terminator Genisys, for those of you that don't know, is the fifth Terminator movie. And it kind of turns the franchise on its head. Sort of like with... multiple timelines, parallel universes, kind of. And it's a very interesting concept. And unfortunately, the trailers give away the big reveal that John Connor is the new T-5000 or something. He's Skynet now or something. And Matt Smith is in it, the Doctor from Doctor Who. He plays Skynet's personality, I guess. So Arnie comes back and they... You basically think the movie's going to be a remake of the first Terminator. And for the first about 15, 20 minutes... It kind of is, and then it kind of goes, ha! And you see a new T-1000, who's Storm Shadow from G.I. Joe. You see the girl from Game of Thrones. She's the new Sarah Connor, Emilia Clarke, I want to say her name is. Jai Courtney's Kyle Reese, and Jason Isaac? No, that can't be right. I can't remember. Jason Clarke, I want to say, is the new John Connor. And it jumps around in different time periods, going from 1984... to 2029 to 2017. And the big MacGuffin is Genisys. It's right there in the title. It's basically, it's friggin' Apple. Skynet is the iOS that runs everything. So Skynet is Siri. The movie itself, it's an okay popcorn flick. It really is. James Cameron himself endorsed it. I don't know whether I do. Do I think it's worth watching? Yes. Do I think it's worth owning? That's going to come down to special features. So special features on this disc, you get basically PR fluff pieces, but you only get an hour of material, which I think the longest is about 15 minutes. They talk about special effects, which I would have loved a featurette where you could have explored some of the new models from the movie. Like there's like a new Spider HK in this thing. There's even the endoskeletons have been like updated, stuff like that. There actually was a promo that came out on YouTube a couple of weeks ago where it showed people dressed as T-800s, like in the Arnie, not the Endos, walking through downtown Los Angeles. I think that would have been kind of fun to include in here, or like a blooper reel, or maybe here's history explained, or maybe if they could have got like a time travel expert, which, just trust me. Like, it's not the best Terminator DVD or Blu-ray I've seen in terms of special features. I've seen multiple editions of Terminator 2 have really good ones. There is a commentary on here. I didn't get a chance to listen to that, though. Even Terminator Salvation, I remember having a lot more stuff with it, too. So, unfortunately, I don't think this one is worth your time to necessarily buy right now. If you're like me and you have to complete a series, you're going to buy this anyhow. But I might wait for a better edition to come out. Like, I'm really hoping... If the franchise does decide to continue, because they were talking about doing another movie in 2017, This movie made its money back, but it wasn't as well received as I like, so I guess we'll just have to kind of wait and see. But I do recommend you at least watch the movie, make up your own mind about it, but you may want to pass on it. A movie you probably shouldn't pass on, however, once again also coming from Paramount, is Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. Now, I fell out of the series around Mission Impossible 3. I want to say that was the J.J. Abrams one. So I didn't see Ghost Protocol from a couple of years ago. But I remember seeing the first Mission Impossible in theaters. I think I saw that one like 4 or 5 times with like Brian De Palma, and I thought it was friggin' amazing. So super spy Ethan Hunt is looking for this group known as the Syndicate, which are basically like agents from other agencies that have like disappeared, and now they're basically causing chaos around the world. And you see Ethan's like trying to figure out how to get these guys, what they're up to, and what's their big end game. And this movie, it's exciting as hell. It's awesome to see the people all back together, like Simon Pegg. Thoroughly enjoy his character. Ving Rhames comes back as Luther. I know Jeremy Renner, I think, was introduced in the last movie. Really like him. Alec Baldwin's in this as well. I will say the main bad guy, I don't find him threatening in the least. He reminds me of like an evil Steve Jobs, I guess would be the best way to describe him. But the action scenes are phenomenal. There's like that scene on the plane from the beginning of the movie. There's a really cool looking car chase in the middle on like motorcycles. Great fight scenes, like when it actually comes to physicality. There's one scene where I can't remember the woman's name, but she's fighting this big Russian thug guy, and she's doing shit you'd see on like Arrow, basically like flipping around. Eventually, at one point, she like wraps her legs around his neck, stabs him in the chest, and then snaps his neck just to be sure. It's incredibly cool looking. And I love how they update some of the gadgets in this. Like, they'd show like the 3D printing of the masks and everything, which is something I've always loved about these movies. Tom Cruise, yeah, he's getting on in years. He's still got it. He really does. So Rogue Nation also has a bunch of special features. Some of the ones that I liked, they go back and take a look back at each movie. This one's about 10 minutes or so, about the past missions. They talk about how each director's kind of left their own impression on the franchise. They detail some of the stunt work. And just, honestly, it's a much better value, and it's a better movie compared to Terminator Genesis. I mean, Rogue Nation, I never thought I'd care about the Mission Impossible franchise again. Now I'm kind of considering going back and getting the rest of the series on Blu-ray. Netflix just ain't kind of doing it for me now. In fact, I almost wouldn't mind revisiting the Mission Impossible franchise for a Twig Topic show in the new year. So if you've got the money to spare this year, and you only want to get a person a movie that I didn't recommend in my holiday gift guide from last week, I might recommend you go check out Mission Impossible Rogue Nation on Blu-ray, available from Paramount. I think it's pretty decent. So anyway, guys, that's going to do it for this edition of the Nerd News Network for 2015. I will be back the week of January 11th with a brand new Nerd News. Hopefully we'll keep to the weekly schedule for a change, because I haven't been sick all that much in the last week, and hopefully next year will be better for me. So anyway, guys, have yourselves a safe and happy holiday. Big thanks to Ken, Matt, and Steve, who sent me some wonderful Christmas presents this year. I really, really am humbled by all the fan support I've gotten over this past year. Another person on Facebook named Les said, thank you for all that I do. And I'm definitely thankful this year for all the great things that all of you have had a chance to share with me over the past year. And like I said, coming to seeing me out at Con Bravo, stuff like that, doing the multiple interviews I've done in the media this past year. And hopefully you'll see a lot more in 2016. Some of the big projects I intend to work on, hopefully I'll make my big break into the RPG industry. I'm hoping to work on a rule book in the new year, maybe design a system right from the ground up. I'm hopefully going to go back to university, actually, maybe next year. It's a little too soon to do it now, as I'm not precisely sure what I want to do. So I'm looking at different options online so I don't have to move from the lovely town where I currently live. But anyway, So, until next time, guys, I have been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying have a safe and happy holiday, and I'll catch you guys again next year, right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it!
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my god, there's snot on my face! And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. But ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh my gosh, freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are
you?
Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well as subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@ThisWeekInGeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PRONOBOZO.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.